Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Connor Newt is with us today. Hello, Connor.
Hello, Jared.
So, did you see the big rumor started by Greg McElroy yesterday, apparently, at SEC Media Days?
I did indeed.
So, I think everybody saw this. Again, Greg McElroy, the former Alabama National Championship-winning quarterback, said his sources, or a source close to Nick Saban, told Greg McElroy that Nick Saban was going to return to coaching. And then it took off like wildfire. Why did it take off like wildfire? Because Greg McElroy played quarterback for Nick Saban at Alabama. Apparently, throughout all of yesterday, that rumor ended up getting squashed. Paul Feinbaum was on the morning show today. He said, you know, I knew as soon as he said it that it was going to catch fire, but there was nothing to it. I saw Chris Lowe, the guy who's obviously close enough with Saban to break the story himself, said, yeah, no, he's not coming back. So it was Greg McElroy. Again, I'm trying to figure out what sources Greg McElroy would have that aren't Nick Saban himself, considering he played quarterback and won a national championship for Nick Saban. But apparently in the span of a day, which is typical for SEC media days where, again, guys go there and they try not to say anything. But in the span of a day, that was the hit discussion. Was, is Nick Saban coming back? Again, this is wild to me. Because once again, who can Greg McElroy's sources actually be? The guy played for Nick Saban. He won a national title for Nick Saban. He's currently a colleague of Nick Saban's at ESPN. The dude has a popular radio show in Nick Saban's hometown. Again, that would be like Floyd Reese saying something about, you know, my source says Bill Belichick, XYZ. You think he's talking about some random jamoke as a source? But again, apparently, Greg McElroy completely walked it back and said he thinks Saban will stay retired. So the semantics of how we got here seem a little odd, but it's not as if there's any real news on the cusp here. But I wanted to use this opportunity to lobby for something that I don't know why I think this has to happen. I don't know why I care so much that this absolutely, positively needs to happen. But there is something inside of me as a football fan who appreciates good football, good quarterback play, elite players, elite coaching, that is just begging for what I think is a slam dunk no-brainer. And you tell me who's going to say no to this. I believe Nick Saban needs to be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. I know, Saban didn't work well in the NFL at Miami, even though he was coach of the year. But he also didn't have Joe Burrow when he was the head coach in Miami. And if you don't think that matters, Pete Carroll didn't work his first time in the NFL with the Patriots and the Jets. But when Pete got to Seattle, again, Pete showed he can coach. This new QB series is out on Netflix, and I have watched the first episode. It's actually, again, I think it's a very good show. I enjoyed it 2 years ago. Last year, I watched the wide receiver show. I wasn't as glued to it. You know, it was interesting, but it wasn't interesting enough to keep me past, you know, three or four episodes on a plane. But I watched the first quarterback episode today, and there was a clip that was making its way around Twitter. If you can, Connor Newt. This was from the Netflix docuseries Quarterback that, again, was making its way around the Twitterverse when the Titans played Cincinnati. If you remember, Joe Burrow had a terrible interception early in the game, and it was one of those ugly Titans never had a chance, but they only lost by 10 points kind of games. And that would have been a sign of progress for the Titans, but it was so comically bad because the Titans were so bad. But this cut from this docuseries, I think, proves one thing that I've believed all along, which is that Zach Taylor, the head coach in Cincinnati, total stooge, and that Joe Burrow is the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals right now, the same way Joe Burrow was the coach at LSU when they won a national title with Ed Orgeron. Here was the dialogue after the 10-point victory for the Bengals from the Netflix docuseries Quarterback.
False start. Offense. The penalty train rolls on.
What the fuck are we doing, man? Wake the fuck up! Fucking mental mistakes all fucking day!
Way to finish the day. That's a great drive to finish it. I know it's a frustrating,
embarrassing performance by us. Fucking embarrassing.
And listen, we'll address it. We'll address it. But at the same time, let's enjoy some wins.
That. We sucked today. That was embarrassing. Okay. We jumped off sides fucking eight times.
I know that.
Sometimes I walk into an emotional moment that I know I'm walking into an emotional moment, and it becomes a really emotional moment, and it may be viewed as conflict. It's really just passion for the game.
You know, I understand that we won the game and we want to be happy that we win the game, but at the same time, when things aren't good enough, I'm not going to act like they were.
Joe Burrow's not listening to him. Joe Burrow is the coach of that team, and Joe Burrow does not need to be the coach of that team. Lamar Jackson doesn't coach his team. Patrick Mahomes doesn't coach his team. And I don't think Josh Allen coaches his team. Joe Burrow does not need to be coaching his NFL team. But again, here's Zach Taylor, Mr. Rah-Rah Positivity. Let's enjoy this 10-point win over the lowly Titans. And meanwhile, Joe Burrow's sitting there saying, F that! That team sucks! We sucked! If we want to make the playoffs, we can't play like this! Go get the lollipops and the orange slices, coach. Get back to being useful. Let's not kid ourselves. If Nick Saban were to take over the Bengals, do you think the problems about mental mistakes would be something that Joe Burrow would have to correct? It reminds me, if you've ever watched the Football Life documentary on Troy Aikman, and Troy Aikman detailed what it was like when the Dallas Cowboys moved on from Jimmy Johnson to Barry Switzer. And there's a similar sideline blow-up in that Football Life documentary that showed Troy Aikman going nuts on the sidelines in 1997, saying, why do we even have a coach? Because when Troy Aikman was winning Super Bowls with Jimmy Johnson, Jimmy was the one who coached the team. When Barry Switzer took over, Troy felt like he had to coach the team. Let Joe Burrow play quarterback. Let Ja'Marr Chase play wide receiver. And how do you do that? You bring in Nick Saban. Everybody in that building is going to listen to Nick Saban, and you know it, because it's Nick Saban. And let's not kid ourselves when it comes to Nick Saban. Would Saban ever return to football? Let me just say this. I have no idea one way or another if he would or if he wouldn't, but there is not a better job out there than to be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow at quarterback. This is not like Nick Saban would be coming out of retirement to take over a team with Derek Carr at quarterback. Everybody knows the Bengals don't have Derek Carr at quarterback. I argued that if I were the Bengals, I would have fired that numbnut Zach Taylor last year, and I'd have hired Mike Vrabel. Because, once again, I don't need Vrabel to worry about the offense. I need Vrabel to get everybody on the same page. I need Vrabel to hold people accountable. Joe Burrow will take care of the offense. So here's the Cincinnati Bengals. And Joe Burrow is in his prime, and you're paying him $55 million a year. You're paying Ja'Marr Chase, what, $40 million a year? You're paying T. Higgins probably close to $30 million a year. So what's an extra $10 million to bring in Nick Saban to really herd the cattle? Again, this is Nick Saban we're talking about here. And not only that, the Bengals are currently working to get a new stadium built. And you know the cheap Bengals are not going to try to pay for that. You know the Bengals are going to try to stick that to the taxpayers and the state of Ohio and the city of Cincinnati and maybe try to use the people of Kentucky to get involved or something. But what is a bigger sign to your constituents and fan base of saying, hey, we're in. Trust us. I know we're the cheap Bengals, and for years we've been a team that nobody thinks pays anybody. Trust us, we're signing Nick Saban to be the head coach to try to take advantage of this window we have with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. And then we're going to sign Trey Hendrickson to a contract because that's what we need with Nick Saban as coach is the NFL's leading sacker. So, again, that whole Greg McElroy thing, because Greg McElroy played quarterback for Nick Saban, and Greg McElroy is a colleague of Nick Saban's, and Greg McElroy lives in the same town as Nick Saban. It was very odd, this idea that Greg McElroy was going to say, you know, I hear Saban might be coming back, and then everybody immediately shoots it down as soon as it comes to pass. So I guess that's really a nothing burger. And I don't think the Bengals would ever fire Zach Taylor because I think the Bengals are comfortable with Zach Taylor. And what I've learned about the Bengals is if they're comfortable with something, it's really, really, really hard to get them off that. And I don't think they'd be comfortable with what it would take to pay Nick Saban. But I just think it would be a perfect fit. Again, I don't guarantee Super Bowls because so many things have to go right in order to win a Super Bowl. But the Cincinnati Bengals are an offensive juggernaut with no real head coach, with Joe Burrow trying to be the head coach of that team, and you have the opportunity to get Nick Saban. Again, what do the Bengals need? They don't need an offensive schemer. They need somebody that can coach defense, that can really take over the organization and be the representative of the organization, which right now is Burrow, and I think they'd be better off with it being Saban. But they need a disciplinarian that can take care of the 52 guys on the team so Joe Burrow can worry about the one guy Joe Burrow needs to worry about, which is Joe Burrow. And for some reason, I am just obsessed with this, and I don't think anybody else, A, cares. I don't think B, thinks it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. And C, I think there are so many of you out there that don't see the light like I do that think that Joe Burrow plus Nick Saban equals championship, as close as you can to equaling championship. And for some reason, it depresses me. I'm not a Bengals fan. I am a Burrow fan. I am a Saban fan, so maybe that has something to do with it. But I just think everybody is so stupid if they do not think that Joe Burrow and the Bengals would be a match made in heaven for Nick Saban. Just so stupid. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting today. And when it comes to Zach Taylor, who I am not a huge fan of, when it comes to Zach Taylor, there's kind of something else that I think I'm starting to realize, and we'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game, and let me tell all the fine folks out there that 1025, The Game's coverage of SEC Media Days is sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, and apparently Chase and Big Joe may be catching up with Josh Heupel later today. So get excited for that. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Well, speaking of the coach of Alabama football, Paul, what happened yesterday with Greg McElroy? I'm a little confused because when I first saw his report, I was like, well, if Greg McElroy is saying someone really knows that, then, boy, I'm taking this seriously. And then apparently it's not to be taken seriously. Is that right?
Well, I'll sound like somebody my age. I mean, this modern media is ridiculous. I mean, this is, you know, what happened was, and in a nutshell, I was on Greg's show. I'm on there every Monday. And he said to me, hey, I heard from somebody that really is notable that would know, and he believes Nick Saban is coming back into coaching. What do you think? I said, that's absurd. I said, there's no way, blah, blah, blah. McElroy then agreed with me. But he did ask the question, okay? And it was, and I finally asked him, I said, 30 years ago, my editor would have called me and said, who's your source? So I'm asking you, who's your source? He goes, well, somebody that knows Nick Saban. So it was you know, call it whatever you want. I knew the second he said it, it was going to get traction. And it did. And do I think there's any truth to it? No, but that has nothing to do with the reality of the world we live in when it comes to aggregating stories.
Okay, that was Paul Feinbaum today on with Robbie and Joe. And so, again, the rumor is Feinbaum just laid it out for you. Apparently, on their daily station in Alabama, you know, Greg McElroy said to Feinbaum, I talked to somebody, a high-level source, who said Saban's coming back. And Feinbaum, who is a veteran in the media, there's no doubt, Joe wrote a story about it, very well written by Joe Rex, wrote at The Athletic. Joe wrote a story about it, it's not bad, about how Feinbaum is a very sage media savant. And he's sitting here saying, thinking, as McElroy is saying, I heard from somebody, a high-level source, that Nick Saban is returning to coach. And Feinbaum is sitting there thinking, oh, my God, you dope. The second you say that, this thing's going to blow up. Now, I don't like the fact that Feinbaum right there basically said, you know, the American media and the way it works, you know, he said that to me when I was on their show, and I just turned around and said no, and he said, yeah, I agree, but of course, the thing that people ran with, the aggregators, was the high-level source that Greg McElroy said Nick Saban's coming back. Well, duh. Again, is that really a genius take? So here's what I'm having a hard time with. Can somebody explain to me, when it comes to Greg McElroy and Nick Saban, why Greg McElroy would need a high-level source to talk to him about Nick Saban? Am I the only one who's not wondering, can't Greg McElroy just text message Nick Saban? He played quarterback for him and won a national title. And I understand, again, I was in college 15 years ago. I'm not super, super close with every single person that I knew in college. I do have most people's phone numbers. I also have a very easy way to get in touch with anybody whose phone number I don't have that I want to get in touch with. But okay, fine. That was 15 years ago. You mean to tell me that over the years, that Greg McElroy has called games for ESPN, in which he called high-level games. You know, that's really the second-best ESPN game of the day. The best game for ESPN goes to Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. The second-best game either goes to Bob Wischusen and Greg McElroy and that kind of noon kickoff team with Katie George, or it goes to the later ESPN game that they'll have. I think Sean McDonough maybe does that at this point. But, I mean, one of the top two games on ESPN or ABC throughout the course of the week has Greg McElroy call it. How many times has he called a Nick Saban Alabama game? And you mean to tell me he doesn't have Nick Saban's phone number? This is why this is such a big deal. And this is why I'm not just dismissing it. Again, Feinbaum is trying to make you think, oh, they, you know, he was just talking on the radio and he said that and that was a... Dude, this guy won a national championship for Nick Saban. This guy has worked with Nick Saban at ESPN. This guy does a radio show in the morning in the hometown of Nick Saban. Nick Saban probably listens to that morning show. And you mean to tell me the guy can't just text him? That's where this doesn't make any sense. Again, it'd be one thing if I said it. Because what is my connection to Nick Saban? I haven't talked to Nick Saban in 5 years. What is my connection that would be that? Whoa, Jared, he knows. This is Greg McElroy we're talking about. This reminds me of a story years ago, when the Titans had fired Mike Mularkey and they were on the hunt for a new head coach and they were interviewing potential guys, and Josh McDaniels' name kept coming up. The Adam Schefters and the Ian Rappaports and everybody else, they kept talking about Josh McDaniels, Josh McDaniels, unlock Mariota, Josh McDaniels. As stupid as all that sounds right now, that is what people were discussing at the time. And I was hosting the show, Jared and the GM, with Floyd, and I said to Floyd, I go, well, what about Josh McDaniels? How would he be as a coach? Floyd goes, well, I don't know Josh as a head coach. I know Josh as a coordinator. He's a pretty good coordinator. And I said, well, but, I mean, how would he be as a head coach? Should have probably picked up the hint right there that Floyd was saying, not very good. But I was too young. I was too stupid at the time. Might still be the same amount of stupid. Definitely not the same amount of young. And so finally, I just looked at him. I said, Floyd, you're the former general manager of the Titans. Like, you got to have an opinion on this stuff one way or another. And Floyd went off. And he said to me, he goes, you can say whatever you want to say. And it doesn't matter to anybody. If I say it, then it ends up on ESPN and it's going to end up over there in that facility. And I don't think that they should be burdened with what I think about what they should do at coach. And I didn't react to that and think, oh, yeah, you get up in my face, old man. I reacted with that with, thank you. Thank you. Because now when you don't give an opinion like this, the audience understands. I'm sure there were people driving around in their cars in that moment that said, you know what, he's right. It's not fair for him to voice his opinion on who they should hire and then make the Titans feel like they have to hire who the old man says. I get it. That's how I felt in that moment. Well, when you're Greg McElroy and you won a national championship at Alabama and you live in Alabama and you call the games on TV at times for the program at Alabama, it's hard not to think that you're not connected with Saban directly. Again, let me ask this question. Can't he just text Nick Saban? I talked to a very, very high-level source, and he said, if your high-level source isn't Nick Saban, then you need to pick up the phone and you need to call Nick Saban, because we all know you can call Nick Saban. And so because of that, even though the Army came out yesterday to squash this rumor that Nick Saban is considering getting back into football, I think I have to keep an open mind here and think that it's possible. And that McElroy said something he probably shouldn't have said, and that people close to Saban, including Saban, probably said to McElroy, what are you doing? What are you doing? But I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule out Saban getting back into ball. And again, when it comes to Saban, the team I think he should go to, forget about college. Yes, I think it'll be easier to get a payday in college. I think a school like Texas A&M would pay Saban $10 zillion. But at the same time, where Saban needs to go, Saban needs to go to Cincinnati and go coach Joe Burrow. That's just me. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. We'll hit some of your phones. Plus, speaking of that Cincinnati situation with Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, there is a theory that has been born of mine after the Netflix docuseries. We'll get to that next. And your phone, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063. The game, and let's tell all the fine folks out there that this week's National's best deal is Chiba Hut Toasted Subs, with a menu featuring over 30 signature sub sandwiches, as well as a variety of Rice Krispie treats, salads, and munchies. They combine homegrown food with real people in a relaxed environment. Get half off a $40 gift card now at thegamenational.com/deals while supplies last.
Penalty train rolls on.
What the fuck are we doing, man? Wake the fuck up! Fucking mental mistakes all fucking day!
Hey, way to finish the day. That's a great drive to finish it. I know it's a frustrating,
embarrassing performance by us. Fucking embarrassing.
And listen, we'll address it. We'll address it, but at the same time, let's enjoy some
that. That. We sucked today. That was embarrassing. Okay. We jumped off sides fucking 8 times.
I know that.
Sometimes I walk into an emotional moment that I know I'm walking into an emotional moment, and it becomes a really emotional moment, and it may be viewed as conflict. It's really just passion for the game.
You know, I understand that we won the game, and we want to be happy that we win the game, but at the same time, when things aren't good enough, I'm not going to act like they were.
Okay. That was from the Netflix docuseries Quarterback. That was a 10-point victory for the Bengals over the Titans. Joe Burrow just losing his mind on the sideline, and the coach just coming over saying, "It's okay, Joe, we need to celebrate these moments. We beat the Titans." And Joe Burrow, who's a no-nonsense guy, is saying, "F that! That team sucks! We need to get our acts together." Which takes me back to my theory, which is that Joe Burrow coaches the Bengals, Zach Taylor is a bad coach, and that's where Brian Callahan has learned all the things that he preaches to the Titans that I don't like. All of the patting everybody on the ass all the time. Legarius Sneed's doing a great job when he's here. Guys have off-the-field issues, but he's doing great when he's here. Again, as I graphically said yesterday, I feel like Jeffrey Simmons could take a steaming dump on Brian Callahan's desk, and Callahan would say, "Good job, Jeff. Did you eat corn yesterday?" Like, that is exactly what would happen because Callahan has no backbone. That's what I believe. And I want to compare this again, that Burrow cut where Burrow's losing his mind on the sideline, and Zach Taylor, you know, sometimes I come into a confrontational moment, but really it's just a love of the game. And I want to compare this with the Football Life documentary on Troy Aikman when it came to Barry Switzer. So if we could, Newt, let's play that cut from the Quarterback documentary just one more time. Just so you can hear Burrow. Actually, screw it. We don't need it. You heard Burrow yelling and screaming. Now, this is the Troy Aikman documentary. And tell me if this is not the exact same thing.
As great as the first part of my career was, the back half of my career was every bit as frustrating. Once Jimmy left, I felt like we were kind of hanging on. We weren't as good in 94 as we had been in 93. 95, we won the Super Bowl, but we weren't as good of a football team in 95 as we had been in 94. And it continued.
In the 1996 playoffs, the mighty Cowboys were taken down by a second-year expansion team. In 97, they hit bottom. Aikman felt it coming. In preseason.
"Hey guys, that's a f***ing embarrassment out there. That's a damn embarrassment. We can't block anybody up the f***ing hour hugging the ball early. F*** Junior League.
Somebody's got to get their f***ing attention. And I tell you, Jack, I am f***ing tired of being a guy who's got to run down everybody's f***ing damn throat all the time. Why don't we have a f***ing coach that gets over there and does something about it? Instead, we want to go over and pat everybody on the ass and they haven't done a f***ing job all night. Guys out there off and nobody says anything about it. We got a head coach who won't say anything about it. We got coaches offensively won't do anything about it. I mean, enough's enough.
I understand.
Babysitting's over."
I'm telling you, is that not the exact same thing? And so I'm convinced. Remember, we played the cut where when the Titans drafted Cam Ward, they asked Brian Callahan, you know, "How do you think you can develop Cam Ward?" "Well, I've done it before." And it's like, au contraire, mon frere. You were the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati when Joe freaking Burrow showed up at your door. You didn't grow Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow made you. And I've realized all that patting each other on the ass, the same thing that Aikman's all worked up about, where Aikman's sitting there saying, what do we even have a coach for? When Jeffrey Simmons is sitting there acting like a crazed lunatic at training camp, I certainly felt like, what do you even have a coach for? Simmons goes and does whatever he wants. When Jim Wyatt is having to write on Titan stationery in the mailbag that he didn't think Tavondre Sweat looked like he was in that great of shape, but he still got time to get in shape, isn't that what the coach's job is for? But again, with Callahan, he learned it all from Zach Taylor. And Zach Taylor doesn't actually do any coaching in Cincinnati, because Joe Burrow is the coach, the way Aikman had to coach the Dallas Cowboys when Jimmy Johnson left. That's what I'm convinced of. And I have not seen anything in this offseason that has led me to believe that Brian Callahan is a good coach. I put out a poll on Twitter earlier today, and I said, do you think Brian Callahan is a good coach? And 43% of you think the answer is yes. And I'm sitting here thinking, based off of what? What is it that Callahan does that you're like, oh, yeah, no, he's a good coach. He's a good coach. Again, do I care that much about what happens to the Bengals? No, I don't. Because I don't care about the Bengals one way or another. I root for Burrow. I like him. I think he's got great swag. I think he's a great competitor. I think he's an awesome player. I wish he were my quarterback. But I don't shed any tears when the Bengals don't make the playoffs, even though Burrow throws for 5,000 yards and 87 touchdowns. But I do know bad coaching when I see it. And I do know that if you can win a national championship with Ed Orgeron as your head coach, you can do anything. That's Burrow. Brian Callahan didn't win that national title with Ed Orgeron as the coach. Zach Taylor didn't do any of that. Those guys have been holding Burrow back. Titans fans thought, we're going to turn Will Levis into Joe Burrow because we hired the offensive coordinator that Joe Burrow had in Cincinnati. Again, I'm thinking those two stooges were holding Joe Burrow back. Brad is up next, 615-737-1025. Brad, thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I got two things, one on the Vols and one on the Titans. On the Vols front, I really think this is going to be an interesting year for Heupel. You know, he's had three quarterbacks. The first two are NFL employed, and the third, Nico, is definitely at least a mid-level prospect in the NFL. This year, he doesn't have that. So I'm thinking that carriage is going to turn back into a pumpkin a little bit, so it'll be interesting. And then on the Titans front, all I wanted to say is that I saw the Tennesseans coming out with the 25 greatest Titans moments of all time. When that's all done, I think a great segment for one of your shows is you should re-rank those 25 moments and talk about what might have been left off and how you would do it. So I just thought that would be kind of fun. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Brad. I thought that was going to be a good call. I'm not really sure what to say with any of that. Re-rank the top 25 moments? I think I'm good. I think you can do that, Brad. I think you know enough about that. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. That's 615-737-1025. So I do want to get to some of your phones. There's another day, and ESPN has released another top 10 list at a position group in the NFL. Today it was off-ball linebacker. And there's one thing when it comes to the Titans that Titan fans, I think, got a little bit excited about. It is nothing to get excited about. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
Let's go for it. You got a young quarterback, so you want veteran receivers. I get it. I would do the same thing. But is this the best you could do? Calvin Ridley, 64-4. He was here before. 6 points. Why did I give him six? Well, look at Pittman. Look at Pierce. Look at Pierce himself, what he got, and why I think a six is appropriate. You know, Pittman had 69 and three touchdowns. Your guy had 64-4. Same grade, six. Now what do you want to do? You want to call Lockett number two, or do you want to call Van Jefferson? I'll call Lockett number two, since he almost had double the receptions and the same touchdown. So you slide Lockett into the two spot. He's an older guy. He'll be very good for the quarterback for a year or two, and that'll be the end of it. I thought Tyler Lockett personally could have gone to a couple other places, but he went here. I gave him a 4 out of 6. He used to be a 6 out of 6 when he was in his heyday. And sometimes he was the one. Van Jefferson slides to the three spot where he belongs with 24 catches and two touchdowns. By the way, he played 63% of the plays. He should have been able to do better than 24 receptions, but he's who he is. He gets a 3, and I could have made it a 2, but I get why he's there, and the quarterback's going to need him. Ridley, Lockett, Jefferson. Now you go to the backups. Two rookies, that's 0. Burks, a total disaster, 0. Add it all up, is 12.
12 points, I believe that's our lowest score to date, would be the Tennessee Titans. So
it's getting there.
There you go. That was Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin on SiriusXM NFL Radio. So that was them breaking down the Titans wide receiving group. We actually do not have the top 10 list on the wide receivers. That has not come out yet. But another day and another position group is dropped in which the Titans at ESPN do not have a player in the top 10, do not have a player with an honorable mention, do not have a player receiving a single vote. Today, it was off-ball linebackers. Now, look, Cody Barton's the only off-ball linebacker they have, and he's not any good anyway, so that shouldn't surprise people. But just think about this. This list is almost over. The only thing left are corners. I don't think the Titans will have one of those unless somebody votes for L'Jarius Sneed, which I could not imagine they would. And wide receiver, where I will be interested to see if Calvin Ridley gets a top 10 vote, though I don't assume that he will. As of right now, the Titans have Jeffrey Simmons as the fourth-ranked defensive tackle in the NFL and an honorable mention of Peter Skoronski as a top 10 guard. So Skoronski's not a top 10 guard, but he is an honorable mention. So he, in the polling, he's probably like 15th or 16th or something like that. No top 10 or honorable mentions at running back, quarterback, edge rusher, safety, tight end, tackle, and now off-ball linebacker. And there's two different thoughts I have with this. The first is, holy crap, this team's going to suck. Like, this team is going to be abysmal. And I think the higher-ups over there know it. I think they know they're on pace to win three or four games this year. I think the coaches are praying that's not what happens, but I think even they know their team's not very good. I think the owner is expecting them to be bad this year. And I even think the players know it a little bit. That's the first thing. This team is, as far as the talent on it, one of the lousiest teams I have ever covered on paper. And that's saying something, because I'm not, this is not my first rodeo. The second thing was there were actually some Titan fans and some bloggers and some websites and some things that got excited about Peter Skoronski being an honorable mention at guard. I'm like, you do realize you took him with the 11th overall pick in the draft at guard, a non-premium position. And he's not even the 11th overall guard in the NFL. He's a bust. He's not even a top 10 guard entering year three in the NFL. Bust. I can go get the 15th best guard in the fourth round of the draft. That's when most teams get him. They don't use the 11th overall pick on a guy who the best thing you can say about him is he doesn't necessarily suck right now. Oh, my God, this team is so bad. I mean, this team is so bad. They're going to be so bad this year. And again, I'm not saying that all the people in the league know better than everybody else or anything like that or that this list determines who's good or who's, but when you don't have anybody scratching the surface of this list outside of Jeffrey Simmons, that is a reflection of just how awful you are. Running back, bad. Derrick Henry, number two. Quarterback, bad. Edge rusher, bad. Safety, bad. Tight end, bad. Tackle, bad. Off-ball linebacker, bad. Tomorrow, receiver, it'll be bad. The next day, corner, bad. Jeffrey Simmons at number four, and hey, we got an honorable mention with Peter Skoronski. Woo! Woo! Between that and the fact that the Titans took the number one tight end, Brock Bowers, went 13th. They took a left tackle at 7, who now they have to move over to right tackle. What a freaking... This team's going to be so bad. Like, I hope you people are ready for this. Just how bad this team's going to be. Unless Cam Ward is truly Superman. Speaking of Superman, his movie's out. I don't know what this has to do with Josh Heupel. I was going to try to make a witty transition, but I can't do that. And I can't say something like, Josh Heupel might have to be Superman given the fact that he doesn't have a quarterback. Yeah, it's actually pretty good. Chase and Big Joe are live in Atlanta at Media Days. They sit down with Josh Heupel next. Stillman and Company, we'll have that right here. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.